To understand this, you must look more closely at both Newton's and Einstein's theories. Newton's physics did explain virtually all the observed motions of the solar system, but at the cost of introducing a set of somewhat arbitrary assumptions. For example, consider the law that says that the gravitational force produced by any body decreases like the inverse square of the distance from the body. In Newton's theory, there is nothing about an inverse square law that is particularly compelling. Newton developed the idea of an inverse square law in order to explain known facts about the solar system, like Kepler's relation between the size of planetary orbits and the time it takes planets to go around the sun. Apart from these observational facts, in Newton's theory, one could have replaced the inverse square law with an inverse cube law, or an inverse 2.01 power law, without the slightest change in the conceptual framework of the theory. It would be changing a minor detail in the theory. Einstein's theory was far less arbitrary, far more rigid. For slowly moving bodies in weak gravitational fields, for which one can legitimately speak of an ordinary gravitational force, general relativity requires that the force must fall off according to an inverse square law. It is not possible in general relativity to adjust the theory to get anything but an inverse square law, without doing violence to the underlying assumption of the theory. Also, as Einstein particularly emphasized in his writing, the fact that the force of gravity on a small object is proportional to the object's mass, but depends on no other property of the object, appears rather arbitrary in Newton's theory. The gravitational force might, in Newton's theory, have depended, for instance, on the size or shape or chemical composition of the body, without upsetting the underlying conceptual basis of the theory. In Einstein's theory, the force that gravity exerts on any object must be both proportional to the object's mass and independent of any other of its properties. Strictly speaking, this is only for slowly moving small objects. For a rapidly moving object, the force of gravity also depends on the object's momentum. This is why the gravitational field of the sun is able to deflect light rays, which have momentum but no mass. If this were not true, then gravitational and inertial forces would balance in different ways for different bodies, and it would not be possible to talk of a freely falling frame of reference in which no body feels the effects of gravitation.
This book is continued on Disc 4.